Let us pray. Loving God, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, saints through the ages who have shown your light on our way. We are surrounded by saints who have gone before us in death, who have borne your grace in our lives. We are surrounded by the saints among us who bless us, sustain us, teach us, and pray for us. Speak your word to us and sanctify us, that we may be made holy by your spirit of love in us. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, our beloved, our Savior, and our hope. Amen. A reading from 1 John. What marvelous love God has lavished on us. Look at it. We are all called children of God. That is who we really are. But the world does not recognize us or take us seriously because it has no idea who Christ is or what Christ is up to. But friends, we are children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we will end up? What we know is that when all things are openly revealed, we'll see God, and in seeing God, become like God. All of us who look forward to Christ's coming, stay ready. With the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model of our own. Alleluia. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the 5th chapter. Jesus saw the crowds and he went up a mountain. He sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the realm of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the realm of God. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For just in that way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. The Beatitudes start in a dark, empty place and go from there. The Beatitudes start in a place that is outside of what we understand as power and success. They start in a low, dark place like a seed buried in ground that then rises into the light. The Beatitudes are grounded in these graves in our lives, these experiences of death and emptiness and powerlessness. Poverty, hungering and thirsting, mourning, being persecuted. And they find blessing. Not because we just happen to have blessing. Not because there's anything blessed about those situations. But because God gives us blessing. It all comes from God. There's nothing particularly good about being poor in spirit. The reason that those who are poor in spirit is blessed is because God gives us the realm of God. There's nothing particularly virtuous about being in mourning. There's nothing good about sorrow in itself. But those who mourn are blessed because God will comfort them. There's nothing particularly good about hungering and thirsting, but those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness are blessed because God will give them blessing. God will satisfy them. There's nothing particularly good about being persecuted. The blessing is that even when we're being persecuted, we still belong to God. Blessing doesn't come from us. Doesn't come from our situation, doesn't come from anything we've figured out or earned or deserve. It comes from God and God alone. That's the good news. Once upon a time, there was a preacher who was an evangelist, powerful preacher. He had saved many souls. He had performed miracle healings. He'd brought thousands of people to God. And he was a righteous and pious, devout man. Everybody loved him. When he died, he went to heaven and was astounded to find the pearly gates locked. And then there was a voice from inside the gates that said, "What's the password?" Password? Never occurred to him that there would be a password to get into heaven. But if there were a password, certainly somebody as righteous and well-educated as he would know the password. Jesus Christ is Lord. Nothing happened. God is love. Nothing happened. I believe. Nothing happened. He started reciting every scripture he could think of. He started reciting all of the creeds of the church, all the doctrines, every sermon he'd ever preached. He dug deep and nothing seemed to affect anything. It just kept being locked tight. And he kept going through everything he could possibly think of, getting more and more desperate and exhausted and finally weeping. He just fell to his knees and said, "I give up." And the gates opened wide. The Beatitudes invite us to just give up thinking that we know the password. Thinking that we can figure it all out. Thinking that there's a way to get blessing and if we just get it right, we'll get it. Give up. It won't come from any of those things. It comes simply because God gives it to us. Completely regardless of our deserving. It's very much like the 12 steps of AA that invite us to come to believe that we are powerless over our brokenness and our lives have become unmanageable. And then to come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to wholeness. And then to be ready to turn over our lives and our will to that higher power. To let go, as they say, and let God. To really give up. The Beatitudes invite us to find that blessing, not in ourselves, not in our situation, not in anything we own or possess or control, but simply in the goodness of God. And we learn to trust that. We learn to just trust that blessing comes not from anything we can do, not from anything we deserve, but straight from God. In that trust, we become the saints of God. In the old Roman Catholic tradition, we would remember all of the saints of the church, and they all had their special day, right? We only remember a couple of them. We remember St. Valentine's Day, and we remember St. Patrick's Day, and we almost remember St. Nicholas's Day, only we don't remember the day, and we certainly don't remember the saint. And then on one day in the year, November 1st, it would be All Saints' Day, and we would remember them all together. Then there was another day on November 2nd that we would observe as All Souls' Day, and we would remember those who had been among us who had died in the past year, because there's something related about the saints who have died and the people that we have known who have also died. And in our good contemporary fashion, we smoosh those two together these days, and we remember all the saints of the church and our best friends. And we kind of blend them all together. So on All Saints Sunday, I think about the saints of the church who are important to me, St. Francis, St. Clair, Teresa. I think of the saints of history, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, Dorothy Day. I think of saints in my life, people from whom I have learned how to love God and love my neighbor. Linda and Wayne and Sister Dolores. I think of Beth and my boys. Well, when we talk about saints, what exactly do we mean? Usually when we use that word, what we think we mean is somebody who's really good, right? If somebody's a scoundrel, we say, well, he was no saint. And if somebody's really virtuous, we say, aren't they a saint? People think, Beth is a saint for living with me for 37 and a half years. Actually, she is a saint for living with me for 37 and a half years. But you know what I mean. That's not what we mean by a saint in the church. In the church, when we remember the saints, we don't mean people in whom we see their goodness. A saint is somebody in whom we see God's goodness, regardless of their lives. Because that's where the blessing comes from. One of my personal saints is Vincent van Gogh. He actually trained as a pastor, as a priest, couldn't make it. Sort of took up painting as a last resort, and he preached the gospel in his paintings. He preached God's love. He preached wonder and joy and healing. He preached the gospel that he himself didn't get. And he committed suicide. And in Van Gogh and his life, I see the grace of God. Not Vincent's goodness, but God's goodness. What it means to be a saint is to be transparent to the grace of God, regardless of what our lives are like. Now, obviously, the more we learn to trust the grace of God, hopefully we do become good people. But that's a byproduct of trusting in the grace of God. Trusting that even when we're poor in spirit, God still gives us the realm of God. Even when we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, God satisfies us. Even when we're persecuted, we still belong. And the more we trust that, the more we live in a peculiar way, shaped by those beatitudes. When Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek," he doesn't just mean timid, he means gentle. He means nonviolent. Well, that's hard to do in this dog-eat-dog world, where sometimes we feel like we have to protect ourselves, we have to fight back, you have to make sure that you get your due what's coming to you. And Jesus says, if we really trust that the meek inherit the earth, then we can dare to be gentle. We can dare to be merciful, knowing that we will receive mercy from God, even if not from the world. We become transparent to the grace that we trust. We become windows to God. And what people see is not the glass of the window, but the light of God that shines through. So we come to this communion table empty-handed, and we give up. We hold out our empty, powerless hands, and we receive the blessing of God, not because we deserve it, not because we've got anything figured out, not because we even have a clue what's happening. We receive the blessing of God because God wants to give it to us, and for no other reason. And we take that grace and we consume it. We let it become a part of us until we shine with trust in that grace. And then even when our lives are a mess, we are still the saints of God in whom God has chosen to show grace. And we give thanks. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your grace that has nothing to do with what we deserve. Give us the strength to give up and let you love us. Help us to trust your grace in our lives. God, for your infinite love, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your word. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.